Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a color old school DNB call and response riff in Ableton Live 12, and the goal is simple: make it hit like a heavyweight sub weapon. We're keeping this beginner friendly, but the result should still feel like a real drum and bass drop idea. Think classic jungle energy, old school movement, and modern low end control. The big concept here is call and response. One bass phrase asks the question, the next phrase answers it. That space between the hits is not empty space. That space is where the sub gets bigger, the groove gets clearer, and the whole drop starts to breathe. If you try to blast bass nonstop in DNB, it usually smears the drums and loses impact. But if you let the bass talk in phrases, it locks in with a break and suddenly everything feels heavier. So today we're going to build a riff that has rhythm, tension, and punch, without overcrowding the drop. First, set up a clean project at 174 BPM. That's a really solid starting tempo for this style. Create four tracks: drums, sub-bass, mid-bass, and effects or atmosphere. Keeping these separate makes the whole process way easier, especially when you're learning. It lets you shape the low end properly instead of having everything fighting in one track. Start with the drums before the bass. That's important. In DNB, the drums are not just a background loop. They are part of the conversation. Load a drum rack with a kick, snare, and a chopped break sample. You do not need anything complicated yet. In fact, a simple drum foundation often works better because it leaves space for the bass hits. A good beginner groove is a strong kick, a snare on the backbeat, and some chopped break movement around it. If you're using a breakbeat sample, slice it in simpler or place the slices manually on the grid. If the rhythm feels too stiff, add a light swing using the groove pool. That tiny bit of human feel can make the whole riff feel more old school and less rigid. Now for the sub. This is the part that gives you the weight. Create a new MIDI track and load operator. Set oscillator to a sine wave. Keep it simple. That pure sine is your low end anchor. Put it down an octave or two. Keep the volume sensible, and if you want a tiny bit of connection between notes, use very light glide. We're talking subtle, not slippery. Write only two or three root notes to start. Seriously, do not overcomplicate the sub. For example, you might hold C1, then move briefly to D1, then answer with F1 and G1 in the next bar. The sub should usually be longer than the mid-bass notes. It's the foundation, so it should feel solid, centered, and confident. If needed, put a utility after operator and keep the width at zero. That helps make the sub properly mono. In heavier drum and bass, mono discipline is huge. If the sub is wandering around in stereo, the whole low end gets soft and blurry. Next, create the mid-bass call phrase. This is where the personality comes in. Load wave eatable on a new track and start with a saw-based or harmonically rich patch. You want enough character to cut through the drums, but not so much that it destroys the sub. Use a low-pass filter and keep the unison low or off at first so the low end stays stable. A good starting point is to use one or two oscillators, with just a tiny bit of detune. Add a filter envelope if you want a more percussive hit, and then write a short MIDI phrase with gaps. That gap is part of the rhythm. Try a hit on beat one, another on the offbeat, and maybe one more before the end of the bar. Short notes work really well here, because they leave room for the drums and make the response feel more dramatic. Now add some character with saturator. A little drive can turn a clean bass into something with real old-school bite. Push it gently. You do not need to crush it. Usually a small amount of drive and soft clip turned on is enough to thicken the tone, without wrecking the low end. Now comes the response phrase. This is where beginner producers often just copy the first bar, but that's not the move. The response should feel like an answer, not a clone. Change the contour. Move it lower. Make it longer. Change the rhythm, or shift the note placement so it lands in a different part of the bar. For example, if the call is punchy and short, make the response slightly more sustained. If the call is busy, make the response more open. If the call sits on an offbeat, let the response land closer to the snare or just after it. This kind of contrast is classic in jungle and old school DNB because it creates motion without needing a lot of notes. Here's a useful coaching thought. Think in impact windows. Don't place every bass hit at full strength. Sometimes the heaviest note is the one that arrives after a tiny pause. That little gap makes the next hit feel like it's slamming into place. You can also use velocity to shape the phrase. Even in a simple beginner patch, velocity makes a big difference. Try making the first note of the phrase a little softer, then push the answer note harder. That gives the riff a natural question and answer feel and helps the arrangement come alive. Now let's add movement. Automation is your friend here, but keep it subtle. Automate the filter cutoff in Waveeatable so the response opens a bit more than the call. You can also automate saturator drive, or even use auto filter for broader sweeps. The point is not to constantly wiggle the sound. The point is to make phrase changes feel alive. A good beginner rule is to move the cutoff only a little across the phrase. Think small, controlled changes. If the filter opens too much, you lose that underground low-mid pressure. And if you overdo the drive or add too much redux, the sub relationship starts to fall apart. Now we need to lock the low end together. Add EQA to both bass tracks if needed. On the sub, keep it clean. Remove any unwanted rumble if it's there, but don't mess with it too much. On the mid bass, gently high pass around 80 to 120 Hz so it doesn't fight the sub. If the sound feels boxy, make a small cut somewhere in the low mids. If it feels harsh, tame the nastier upper spikes. This is a huge beginner lesson right here. Separate weight from character. If your sound is cool but thin, that's a sub problem. If it's heavy but boring, that's a mid-bass problem. Treat them as two different jobs. Now test the riff against the drums. This is where the track becomes DNB instead of just bass sound design. Listen carefully. Does the bass leave room for the snare? Are the kick and bass hitting at the same time and stepping on each other? Is the sub note too long and washing over the next drum hit? Does the response phrase actually answer the break? Or is it just sitting there? If the groove feels crowded, shorten the bass notes or move one note later by a 16th. If the kick disappears, lower the bass velocity on that note or trim the sub length slightly. In old school and roller style DNB, the bass often dances around the snare instead of fighting it. That dance is what gives the groove its weight. Once the core loop feels right, turn it into a real drop section. A simple structure might be four bars of the call and response riff, then four bars with a little more drive, then a bar where you strip the bass back, and then bring it in again with a variation. That kind of phrase-based arrangement makes the loop feel like it's developing instead of just repeating. You can also add tiny arrangement details, like a short riser into the first bass return, a downlifter into the next section, or a reverb throw on the final note of the phrase. Just keep it DJ-friendly. If this is going to live in a real DNB track, you want intros and outros that can breathe. If the sound starts getting too complex, don't be afraid to simplify. A great DNB bass line often sounds massive because the rhythm, spacing, and low-end discipline are strong. It does not have to be overloaded with effects. In fact, sometimes the best move is to freeze or resample the riff once it's working. That lets you see the waveform, trim the hits precisely, and commit to the sound. Let's go over a few common mistakes. First, making the bass too continuous. If you never leave space, the groove loses impact. Second, letting the sub and mid-bass fight each other. Keep the sub clean and the mid-layer filtered. Third, using too much stereo widening on the low end. The sub should stay centered. Fourth, overdriving everything until the low end disappears. Always check that the bass still reads clearly. And finally, ignoring the drums. The bass has to work with the break, not on its own. If you want to push this into darker or heavier territory, try a few extra tricks. Use a tiny pitch drop at the start of the note to add punch. Add a very quiet noise transient for extra click on smaller speakers. Automate filter cutoff in phrases instead of constantly. And if you want a more classic chopped feel, resample a few hits and edit them as audio. Here's a great little practice challenge. Set a timer for 15 minutes. Build a 174 BPM project with a basic kick, snare, and break. Make a sine sub and operator. Write a two-bar sub-pattern using just two root notes. Then create a mid-bass patch in Waveeatable with a low-pass filter and light saturation. Write a call phrase in bar 1 with two or three short notes, and a response phrase in bar 2 with a different rhythm or octave. Add one automation move, like opening the filter slightly on the response. Then listen in mono and make sure the sub still feels solid. Loop it for four bars, add one variation, and save or resample the best version. The big takeaway is this. In DNB, bass is not just about sound, it's about phrasing. When the bass can answer itself, and the sub stays locked and mono solid underneath, the whole track starts to feel massive. That's the move. That's the energy. So build the call, shape the response, keep the sub tight, and let the drums breathe. If you can make a bass line talk back to itself while the low end stays focused, you're already thinking like a proper drum and bass producer.